The readings of today recall to us the very greatness of the saints, especially those saints who have been called to the priesthood and to the religious life in particular. And of course, today is, in this rite, the feast of St. Eusebius of Vercelli. St. Eusebius, who came from the Orient, eventually came to Rome, and he was consecrated a bishop to succeed the bishop of Vercelli, which is in the very northernmost part of Italy, in the Alps. In fact, that was the diocese into which Blessed Pier Giorgio was confirmed and was buried when he died very early in his life from a very serious case of polio that he got from the poor people that he was visiting. And so, in the church in Vercelli of and in Polone, where he is buried, or was buried until his incorrupt body was taken to Turin, there is a church named St. Eusebius. But St. Eusebius, among other things, otherwise, he was a priest, he was a bishop, and eventually he was a martyr. He died in the 4th century. But he did a lot of other things for which most people are not cognizant of. The oldest written copy of the Gospels was owed to St. Eusebius, who brought it from Bethlehem, where he was sent into exile. He brought many relics from there, and thus the oldest copy of the Gospels, long before the work of St. Jerome and St. Damasus on translating the scriptures from the original languages to Latin, the Vulgate, which is the official Bible of the Church, is the Codex Vercellensis, and it is a manuscript of the Gospels, handwritten, as most things were in those days. There was no type yet that was in the Renaissance under the Catholic Gutenberg, who first published the Bible, the Vulgate Bible in Latin, printed on his press. It was one of the great achievements of the Renaissance. But that did not exist yet. So the Codex Vercellensis, it is preserved with great jealousy by the Church, because it is there that one can refer to things that sometimes may appear to be not so clear. The other thing for me that is important about St. Eusebius is that he brought from Bethlehem a statue that, according to tradition, was carved by the evangelist, the beloved physician, St. Luke. And he started a monastery in the Alps. And there he also began the shrine dedicated to Our Lady of Oropa on Mount Oropa in the Alps, the Lower Alps, a most magnificent, beautiful, beautiful place, which I know I will never visit again, but my heart visits it very, very often. And the statue of the Blessed Mother is placed in a niche in a little chapel that was built around that same time in the cave that St. Eusebius used to begin the monastery, the oldest monastery, and it is the oldest continuing sanctuary of Our Lady that exists, was before any other. And the Blessed Mother performs many, many miracles there, one to which ladies and others who do housekeeping could refer to Our Lady of Oropa, is that the statue of Oropa never, ever has gotten not the smallest speck of dust on her. She never has to be clean. All around her, yes, but the statue of Our Lady does not have to be clean. And this was the favorite sanctuary of Blessed Pier Giorgio, Oropa. And of course, I've been there and celebrated Mass right before the wonderful statue of Our Lady. In the meantime, the sanctuary continued to grow, and there is an order of monks and an order of nuns that was started there and has continued. It is very small, but it is stable, and thus the that's another thing that St. Eusebius started that is still in continuation 1700 years later or more. And the other thing that is important, under St. John the 23rd and Venerable Pius the 12th, it was decided that there were so many, many thousands of people coming to see Our Lady that it was desirable to build a new sanctuary there that would be bigger. And so they did. A beautiful, beautiful sanctuary. It somewhat looks like St. Peter's because it has a huge dome. And then the statue of Our Lady was, with great pomp and circumstance, moved to the new sanctuary. The next day, when the priests and nuns got up to say their morning prayers, they went to the sanctuary where she was, and lo and behold, Our Lady was gone. She wasn't there. So one of the nuns rushed to the other sanctuary. Maybe she had an inclination or an inspiration. And the statue was in the old sanctuary, the little tiny sanctuary. So they moved her again the next day and to the magnificent new sanctuary. And the next morning they went again to say their prayers, and she was gone. So they knew immediately she was in the old sanctuary. Beautiful little sanctuary. I usually put pictures of that with me in them in August, because the Feast of Our Lady of Europa is on one of the Saturdays of August. It's not a fixed feast. And so since then, the statue has not been, the real statue has been where it was originally. Eventually, a humongous copy of that was made for the new sanctuary, and Our Lady had no problems with that. But she wanted to be in her own home that she had decreed through St. Eusebius would be the real sanctuary of Our Lady of Europa. So we thank God today for the wonderful, interesting miracles that our Lord has wrought through his Most Holy Mother, and all the miracles that still happen to this day at the altar of Our Lady of Europa and St. Eusebius of Vercelli, bishop and martyr. He did many, many other things. We don't have time now. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.